allocate between your customers and employees.
I didn't know Comcast Business did that.
Oh, I'm not done yet. Advanced voice solutions at affordable prices. How about business TV that keeps customers entertained?
Okay, I'm convinced. But didn't you say something about a great deal?
Right now, get started with 25 megabit internet and one voice line for $59.90 per month for 2 years. Call 1-800-501-6000 today. Comcast Business. Beyond fast.
Offer ends 6/21/19. Restrictions apply. New business customers only. 2-year agreement required. Early termination fee applies. Equipment taxes and fees extra subject to change. Backup limited to up to 8 hours.
The Memorial Day sales event is on now at your local Ford stores. Now get a great deal on Ford's bestsellers with additional Memorial Day offers. Get the Ford you want now, but hurry. It all ends May 31st. Ford, go further.
KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont Denver. Live from the American Financing Studios. Available on the radio.com app and desktop. Live anytime, anywhere. Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Denver Sports Snapshot.
It was announced this morning that Broncos Director of Sports Medicine Steve Greek Antonopoulos will be Pat Bowlen's Pro Football Hall of Fame presenter coming up on August 3rd. The Rockies take on the Diamondbacks today at Coors Field. First pitch at 6:40. Antonio Sensatella on the mound for Colorado.
Snapshot presented by Schomp BMW. One price, one person, 1 hour.
Football at 4 is brought to you by Chad Madlam. Your home sold. Guaranteed.
It's football at 4. Here's The Drive with Tom Nalen and D-Mac.
Chris Harris, what are you doing? Get to there in a second. I thought it was quirky that Steve Antonopoulos, Greek, is going to present Mr. Bowlen, but that's what the family decided. So, you know, good for Greek. Do we have a little Greek? He's talking about it, right? Yeah, here's your guy. You spent a lot of time with Greek, right?
Yeah, a lot more than I wanted to.
Right, I bet. All right, here we go, Greek.
Can you tell us just something what you want to make sure you convey in your presentation tribute?
He's done a number of things, you know, that he changed the whole culture of the mindset around here, you know, winning first, the compassion he had for his families. If you really think about it, you know, he had more than one family, the Bowlen family. The Denver Bronco organization was his family. City of Denver was his family. And the Denver Bronco fans. I mean, he was very family-oriented in that concept.
Well, I mean, he literally had two families, but I get what he's saying. So there you go. Greek is...
don't gloss over that commitment to winning. Change the culture.
I didn't say he didn't deserve to be there.
Well, I'm just tying that into my comments from last week.
Oh, right. Well, we can make another promo.
No, let's not. It's all dusty now anyways.
So the family, this was a family decision. So everybody's happy with it. It's all good. And Greek, there you go. I don't know who's speaking, though. Like, I don't know who gets to do that.
Did Junior Seau was one of his kids?
That's a good question.
I think it was one of his kids that... got up and spoke. I'd assume it's one of his kids.
Do you think that'll cause some drama? It doesn't have to. As long as one of the kids that speaks isn't Beth or Brittany, or Johnny or Patrick or Amy.
So we have Annabelle and
Christiana. If it's one of those two, that'd be fine. Probably the youngest would be.
I think everybody could get on board with that. I'm one of seven kids.
You know what they could do?
I think my youngest brother.
You know what they actually could do? They could all speak. They could all take a turn saying something. That'd be fine. That's probably the way to go. Right? Each kid gets, you know, 2-3 minutes.
Yeah, that means Johnny.
That does mean Johnny.
Here's Johnny.
That does mean Johnny, yeah. Yeah, I would say either they do that or who knows. Listen, the big deal is that he's getting the Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame ceremony itself is awful. You think baseball's boring? There's nothing worse than the Hall of Fame induction ceremony at Canton. It's terrible. And I've talked to people who have gone there, Tommy. They leave. Because once they see their guy, whoever it is, go in, they're just out of there. And the thing goes forever. Nobody wants to actually go to Canton. That's, I mean... that's another thing. Like, it's the city itself is not really rigged up nicely for, you know,
it's not a city, though. It's more of a town.
Like a hamlet.
And it's a high school stadium.
That's right. And they finally fixed the turf, so you can actually play.
I had to sit through one of those. We had a game. We played in the game when Elway was enshrined. And I sat through the entire
How was that?
Ceremony.
Must have been awful.
Brutal. And it was hot.
Right.
It was humid.
Right.
I was like, get me back to Denver.
Right.
Sitting there sweating through my Seasucka suit.
What they should do is like how they do the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for, they don't have the ceremony in Cleveland every year. They have it in like New York. They have it in Brooklyn. So they have it at a sports arena so you can have, you know, tons of fans there. The Hall of Fame induction ceremony should be just like the draft. It should travel around. And that way, you know, it'd be better for the fans. It'd be better for the inductees. I mean, it would just be better, period.
But the game attached to it would be played
at that city. Yeah, forget playing
even
the game.
Even if neither of the teams
doesn't matter.
Had an enshrinee.
Who cares? But you would arrange it that way. What do you think? It's a coincidence the Broncos are playing in this game?
No, but there are times when neither of the teams playing are really represented. I want to say.
Well, you fix that. You make sure that happens. I mean, you got to come from somewhere for this ridiculous, preposterous, you know, game that doesn't matter. I mean, it really doesn't matter. So whoever the highlighted athletes are, that's who, you know, who plays. But the ceremony could be anywhere. Who cares? And they're dragging everybody to Canton. You can drag, you know, it'd be much more exciting if you just went somewhere more interesting than Canton. And it changed the actual, who needs to see Ray Lewis talk for 45 minutes about anything? I mean, have you ever seen something more boring than Hall of Fame induction ceremony speeches? It's brutal.
They're all like that. Every Hall of Fame induction type thing, everything's boring.
It's boring.
Any speech is boring.
You're not wrong.
That's why mine was less than 21 seconds.
It was perfect.
Who wants to hear me talk? I don't want to hear me talk.
No, not much. Just wanted to hear you say such as and then move on.
That's it.
It was good.
Get the hell out.
It was perfect. Didn't you have another dinner or something else where you were lauded?
The night before.
Okay, fine. Did you speak there too?
Yes, that was much longer. Or I should say it was probably about 8 minutes.
Perfect. Have a good dinner.
People don't have the attention span to listen to anything for more than 10 minutes. Can't do it. It's
anyways.
Impossible. Your mind wanders.
Congrats to Greek and it's a good, I mean, Champ is going into, it's a big deal. It's a big deal for the Broncos. Are we going to be there? Whew. You want to be there?
No. Didn't we just talk about how it's terrible?
You don't feel any allegiance to your ex-teammate Champ Bailey or
no.
Mr. Bolin
no.
and his family?
I'd rather be on a couch.
Okay. When we come back, the latest with Chris Harris. And you can listen to this show from a couch.
There's never an off-season for Talking Broncos.
My rookie year, Mr. Bowen talked to the newspapers and announced that he expects the Denver Broncos to go 19-0. And that was the front page headline of the Rocky Mountain News and the Denver Post at the time, 19-0. Now, we went 7-9, missed the playoffs, and Wade got fired. But I'm just telling you the expectations for Mr. Bowen of the Denver Broncos year in, year out is not 8-8.
Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan.
Hi, Ralph and Justin Klomp of Trace Jewelers. You know, Justin, I think by now almost everybody knows that Trace Jewelers has the largest and most sophisticated custom jewelry shop in the city.
You know, I would hope so, but they may not know that we also repair and refurbish almost any type of jewelry, even if it wasn't purchased at Trace.
The same talented team of our experienced goldsmiths and certified master craftsmen who create.
Now back to The Drive with Tom Nalen and D-Mac.
God, I should check if Chris Harris has signed a deal yet. The world's dumbest negotiation of all time. Good for Chris Harris, but By the way, as I search for this, you see Richie Incognito got a new job?
Did. Only the Raiders.
Amazing.
Perfect fit.
No.
Fontez, AB, Richie Incognito.
Amazing. Brittany Bolin on why family chose Steve Antonopoulos, because he embodies the humility, integrity, and character of our dad. Very nice. Nothing on Chris Harris today. So, I know he was supposed to be here, but then there was like, he's here to take care of like some just chores, like not to really sign a deal. Like, well, that's quite a coinky dink. You think he'll be there tomorrow or not? What do you think? Tomorrow, last OTA.
Do I think that he's going to get a deal done today and show up tomorrow?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if they're just talking 1 year, why wouldn't he agree to a deal? Free money.
I know. I mean, I guess
the Broncos are offering it.
He's already come to terms with the fact he's not going to get a multi-year deal, I guess, from the Broncos.
It was never offered.
Or that's right. It's a good way to know it's not coming.
That's one way to know. I don't know if he's going to get... I would say before the mandatory minicamp, he'll be here.
Oh, you don't... Oh, well, I'm asking about tomorrow.
What's that? Next week? Is he going to be here? I don't know if he's going to get a deal signed today.
Well, I'm asking...
Still voluntary.
I'm asking what you... Yeah, that's right. I'm asking what you think. I think it gets done.
I think he wants to be here. I think he wants to be practicing. Look, this is you got to remember his roots of being undrafted out of Kansas and has that chip on his shoulder. He wants to be out there practicing, despite the fact that they are voluntary and they don't really mean anything. He likes to play football.
I bet it gets done.
He came back to play in the Pro Bowl. He likes to play football.
He likes his AFC championship ring. The year that they lost the Super Bowl. Like, there weren't many guys that were pumped to get their AFC championship.
He liked his AFC West champions when they were 8-8.
Right.
In 2011.
Right.
He likes football.
He likes football.
He wants to be here. It's probably killing him not to be here.
Yeah. It was funny reading, James Palmer. What did James Palmer say? My man, James Palmer. Good-looking fellow. Like, there was some sort of vibe he was back here just to, like, I don't know. Maybe he had a contractor working at his house.
What?
Yeah, there was, like, some other reason. Weeks ago, cornerback Chris, this is according to James Palmer, 5 hours ago. Weeks ago, cornerback Chris Harris Jr. made plans to be in Denver today. Signing a new deal isn't the reason, but it would be convenient to get it done while he's in town. Weeks ago? I would assume he was planning on being here weeks ago because they have an OTA. You're planning to be here, but there's some other reason to be here in town?
Maybe he has to shoot a commercial.
Okay, there you go. There you go. That's a good one.
Who knows why he's coming in?
Right. Who knows if he's really here? Now, if James is saying that, I'm assuming James is talking to Chris Harris. It's a pretty rando thing to put out there, right? Like, I'm going to assume that's who he's actually talking to.
Maybe he's at DIA.
Maybe he's still on the tarmac.
Got in early. Complain.
Got in early. Still there. They've been there for 2.5 hours. There's one gate. That plane will, it'll leave eventually. Yeah, I don't think Chris is flying on that airline. He's not that broke. He's not like Philip Lindsay.
You can sit up front and get the extra leg room still.
You can. You can throw a couple extra bucks that way. Sure can. Yep.
You decide not to.
That's right. You're right.
Stretch seating.
You are correct. You can do that.
I think they're the original. You would get a drink, DirecTV, and stretch seating back in the day.
Not bad. So happy to pay for my backpack. Am I really saving money at the end of the day?
Probably not.
Right. What am I doing?
I think you just flew that airline to complain.
Maybe. I'm not sure where else to go here with Chris. It's a dumb deal because it's not extended for more than 2 or 3 years. The Broncos just, in my opinion, should just not even bother giving him more money. I'd absolutely call his bluff if I was John Elway. You want to sit out? Sit out. We'll see how your life goes after that. You want to turn down, what is it, $8.8 million? Because I think he gets a $1 million bonus for something on top of his salary. You want to give that all up? We're not going on with that. We're moving on without you anyways. By the way, everything that's going on right now is incredibly predictable, so much so we were talking about this in January. And that's why we said back in January and February, you should just trade him. Because this is a bunch of foolishness. And listen, if he just gets more money just for playing this year, hey man, good for him. Freddie the Freeloader's done his job. That is amazing when you think about it.
This has been anything but predictable. The fact that we're here now
talking.
It's
totally predictable.
Predictable that he was going to play a 1 year contract with more money. You could foresee that in January?
Yes.
What?
Because
this has never happened in the history of sports.
What are you talking about?
He's got 1 year left.
Yeah.
They're just going to give him money and not add any years?
Oh.
You've heard of this before?
Oh, no.
You could predict that?
I'm sorry. I could predict that it was going to come to some sort of holdout. Broncos not paying him. You are correct. I could not
this
see.
This is the most insane.
I could not see.
If this comes to fruition, this is the most unpredictable, crazy contract of all time.
Right, because why would you just, for a guy that you're not going to keep, apparently, right? Why would you just give him another, like, $3 million?
This is win now.
And you're scared? You're scared he's not going
to? I think they want to see how Antonio Brown turns out with the Raiders. Let's see how that year goes. We'll have Chris Harris and see what happens. And Tyreek Hill, let's see if he's eligible to play.
John Elway should just stand pat. Maybe give him, if you want. How much is Kareem Jackson getting?
11 a year. 3 years, $33 million. 23 guaranteed, something like that.
Even giving Chris Harris like just $2 million more a year to me is, for 1 year, is so ridiculous. But
to get him to play.
Yeah, I'd call his bluff, but I'd call his bluff. You say he loves football? We'll see how much he loves football.
You think
you're Le'Veon Bell? We'll see if you're Le'Veon Bell. This is foolish to me. This whole thing is ridiculous.
Why does it make you so mad? It's not your money. He'll play
Fine.
This year.
Give him $4 million more and get him the 15. It's not my money. Get it done.
So what does it make you angry about? The man, he deserves. Does he not deserve a better contract? Has he outplayed his contract?
No, he's done great.
Wait.
He's getting exactly what he agreed to.
No, that's not what I asked.
It's about his next contract. Next contract.
Kareem Jackson's getting 11 a year.
Yeah,
he's a year older.
Why did Kareem Jackson get the money?
Because he was a free agent.
Because he was a free agent.
But that's the market. And you're seeing other guys get 15 a year. But you're telling me that Chris Harris, to you, he's only as good as $7.8
million. 8.8. He's got $1 million something else in there.
I thought that was last March.
There was something else going on. I saw,
right. There's a $100,000 workout bonus that he'll forgo.
Clissy Poo says 8.8.
Yeah,
you're doubting that?
Mm-hmm. Why? So he's not worth it?
I don't care. I really don't. It feels exhausting talking about it day after day after day.
I agree there.
I think the fans are getting fatigued with it too. Like, you're the one pointing out accurately, can you believe this is happening? This has never happened before. We're just going to give you more money.
With no cap relief for the team. just giving you money.
Why would they do that? Because he earned it?
Yeah, I mean,
I can't wait to see
how free agency and what teams are paying corners right now, and you look at what he's making, you'd say, is he underpaid?
Fine. Rip up the deal. Give him a 3-year deal.
I don't want to do that.
All right. This is the Drive on the Fan.
It's the Drive with Tom Nalen and D-Mac.
Phone call. Take calls here sometimes. Kyle, hi, you're on the Fan. What's up, bud?
Hey, I was just wanting to talk about Chris Harris because I think that what John Elway is doing is a good gesture and a gesture for the future. And if the Broncos, if their defense is first in the way of making a championship happen for the Broncos, why wouldn't he want to come back? Okay. You know, we got 1 year with Flacco. Or no, we got 3 years with Flacco. But
yeah. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. But what if the defense is the number one reason? Yeah. Why wouldn't Chris Harris want to come back and try again?
Money.
That's it?
Yep.
Yeah.
You don't think he cares about winning a championship over money?
No.
He's done that.
Why not?
He did that on the cheap. So it's his time. He's got one last shot at the contract. He's not getting younger.
Yeah, right. But as he gets older, you don't think he wants? If it was me and if I was a player, I'd want more championships than anything.
Yeah, but you're not guaranteed that. What happens if you were guaranteed money and maybe win?
Well, that's why you give it 1 year and then see how it goes, and then you talk about it later.
All right, Kyle. Appreciate the call. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, the hard part is when...
He said it's a good gesture. I don't think it's a gesture. It is the Broncos know they need Chris Harris to play.
It was a fluid draft.
Fluid, for sure, but it didn't work out. Rocky also, Sin, I don't think they... Any sort of conversations they had with Chris Harris resulted in them being satisfied with the what they would get in return.
It's probably pretty clear the market was soft on Chris Harris, period, anyways.
Probably because of his contract.
Right, he probably would have been traded.
It was probably hard to move him because he didn't want to play at that number regardless of the team. The only team I could see him doing it for possibly
Rams
would be the Rams with Wade Phillips.
Yeah, couldn't move him. Didn't flow their way with Rocky Sin. They don't want to offer him a multi-year deal for whatever reason.
That's the part that's really... The fact that they just want to give him money this year. If they said, no, he's playing this year, he can sit out if he wants, that makes sense. And an extension for a couple more years would make sense. This is the only one that does not make sense, is just basically giving him more money.
Right.
It's not a gesture. It's the fact that if they do give him more money, it's because they want him to play. It's not like a goodwill gesture.
It's a
just giving guys money.
It's a weird move. Like offering
their expectations are that he's going to perform like he has been.
Why offer Matt Paradis a 1-year deal?
That's another weird one.
Right.
Because his first year coming back from that surgery and that injury would be his worst. And they were willing to pay him for that 1 year.
Didn't make any sense. Are we moving on or not? Sometimes I do think the Broncos have a trouble with their management about being decisive with what they want to do. And they hedge their bets. I think they've done that over the years. So this to me is kind of a wacky managerial hedging your bet sort of thing. It does not make a lot of sense. It would make much more sense if this was part of a multi-year deal, but it's not. At least it's not right now. Who knows?
Either the contract or an extension would make sense.
Yeah. But just giving him extra money for a year, that's why I said I'd call his bluff at this point.
But to me, that indicates they want to win now.
By the way, what kind of precedent does this set for teams negotiating other players in the future. I got a year left. I'm just going to, you know, I want more money now. I'm just going to what? Just, that's it. Too bad.
You think Derek Wolfe's going, maybe I could get some more. I have a year left.
Why doesn't everybody think they could get some more? I mean, even if you get a little more, it's still more, right? Like, even if you got $500,000 more, it's more.
So yeah, Kareem Jackson.
Wait, hold on. Let me investigate. So you're telling me if I just don't show up for these voluntary workouts and posture like I'm not going to play, you're going to give me maybe $500,000 more? Okay. Sign me up for that.
It's not about $500,000. It's getting more than Kareem Jackson. It has to be.
Okay, fine. But in the future, why wouldn't every player do this?
Well, they don't have the leverage he does. Derek Wolfe says it, they're probably like, all right, well, sit out the year. Quarterbacks can.
Why wouldn't Joe Flacco do this?
All right. Premium quarterbacks can.
All right, we got that.
And corners can. Pass rushers can. Left tackles, maybe. Not Garrett Bowles.
Do you want to talk about the Indy 500?
Yes, I do.
You got some thoughts on
A French person
winning the Indy
500?
Frenchman winning the Indy 500? I look forward to that. Tom's deep thoughts on the Indy 500 coming up next.
Well, what a day at the Brickyard. The world was transfixed watching those open-wheel cars zip around for 500 miles. And it was a majestic moment when Simon Pagenaud held off Alexander Rossi to win his first Indy 500. Tommy, I understand you actually went.
I was there.
That is incredible.
While you were in Arizona.
You went to Indianapolis.
On my dime.
On a good airline?
Yes.
Congratulations. Yep. Good decision by you.
Yep. They had gates available when we landed.
All right, so this is an interview you had.
Yep.
You got to interview
I wasn't the first one, but I was able to get access to him.
The French winner.
Mm-hmm.
Again, he's from France. This was historic, right? Like, we hadn't had a Frenchie or a person from France win in a long time.
105 years.
You're kidding me.
No.
They had cars 105 years ago?
They did.
Really?
Just go with me.
Okay. Go ahead to the racetrack.
Simon, first of all, congrats on being the first Frenchman to win the Indy 500 in more than 100 years. What did you have to say to Alexander Rossi before the race?
Soon you will know what it is like to be defeated by the hands of somebody who is truly better than you. As William Blake wrote, the cutworm forgives the plow.
Ah, it's pretty cocky. Rossi only finished 0.2 seconds behind you, and that late caution flag made things pretty tight in the final 10 laps. Do you think those pressure situations make you a better driver?
God needs the devil. The Beatles needed the Rolling Stones. Even Diane Sawyer needed Katie Couric.
Simone, I can't even follow that. But now that you've joined an elite group of drivers who have won the Indy 500, do you have a message for the rest of the field?
I have come here to defeat you.
That is an exclusive interview. Wow.
Cocky driver.
Wow.
Typical Frenchie.
Now, you got to explain something to me. While you're interviewing him, why are their cars still going around the race?
He finished before everybody.
finished
the race. You got to make 500 laps.
Oh, I see.
Or miles, or kilometers, or something.
So that's how far out in front he was.
I said I wasn't the first one to interview him.
Well, good job.
Yeah, pretty good get, huh?
I mean, his last answer was...
You watching college baseball?
I was watching college baseball.
I have come here to defeat you.
Okay. Bonne fin de semaine, sinon, appelez pas de gogo. Explique-moi ce qui se passe, c'est comme si j'avais déjà assombrié ma vision.
Control.
Did you watch? Yeah, control. Did you watch any of the race?
No. I only learned about the Simone on the Bruins game because NBC carried it, and they were congratulating themselves for carrying the Indy 500 for the first time.
I got an alert on my phone that the race was on, and I started watching it on my phone, and then it's like 60 laps to go. I got an alert, and it was like, you really should give me an alert when it's like 5 laps to go, you know. I started watching, I was like, oh, Indy 500, jeez, forgot about that one. And let me tune in, and then it was just the cars. It's just boring. Because it's Indy. They don't really, like, you know, rubbing's not racing in Indy. You rub, you just keep going to, like, the 35th row. Your wheels come flying off.
It's an art to do that, to drive like that.
Oh, no. They're skilled.
In an oval.
They're skilled
at that speed without touching anything.
They're skilled athletes, trust me. I get it. We went to the Super Bowl. The media party in Indy was actually at the Brickyard. So I got to go there, be there, like on the Brickyard.
Kiss the bricks?
I didn't. A lot of people did. And I was just like, that cannot be healthy. Look at me. I'm the epitome of health. Where's the next free food? It was a cool place. But
you could have laid down. You didn't have to do like a push-up to kiss him. You could have just laid down and
hugged him.
Give him a little smooch.
Give him a rub. Here's my issue with sports, Tommy. All right. Why in the world would I sit in the stands to watch the Indy 500? Because I saw there's grandstands. Now, if there's a luxury box, sign me up. I mean, any luxury box is just going to be a fun day. But if I'm just in the stands, what am I watching?
A race. I've been to one down in Pikes Peak. They had
you had PPIR
open wheel.
Yeah,
I think it was IRL or cart. It was cart.
Okay.
And I went down there. A neighbor of mine was part owner of a team that didn't fare so well, but it's pretty awesome to watch the speeds.
How long is it awesome for?
The whole time, because you're watching the leaders and
okay. You really were fascinated.
I was into it, yeah.
How long was the race?
I can't remember. It was a while. I mean, they stopped for rain for a little bit, so they came out with these huge trucks with like these blowers on them to get the water off the track. But it was pretty cool to watch.
Yeah.
I mean, television does not do the sport justice.
Well, that's true.
But knowing you and the fact that you want baseball games to last an hour because it will fit your schedule.
2 hours and 45 minutes.
Angry at airplanes for arriving early. I can understand why you wouldn't have the patience to sit around.
I have lost so much patience with sports. I'm not, you're right about it.
What's wrong with you?
I've lost patience with it. I get bored. I couldn't watch 60 laps of supposedly the most I should have been able to sit there. Man, how much is 60 laps even going to take?
Well, it depends on cautions and things like that.
Oh, my God.
And you'd leave during a caution. You'd be like, forget it, I'm done. I don't care who wins.
60 laps, could that take 2 hours? I mean, how long is a lap?
It's not 500 laps.
Well, I got
500 miles.
It's 500 miles, not 500 laps. Every lap is like 2-something miles. Like 2-point-something. There's a golf course in the infield of the Indy 500. It's big.
You could not sit around for 60 laps?
I guess not, because I didn't. I mean, I tuned it in. I was watching it. I was trying to, like, because the technology they use for racing is actually pretty cool. Because they really do have cameras in all the right spots. And they're on board, and they're in the pits. And they do a great job broadcasting it. It's like, I don't know, bored.
Long baseball games, boring.
Yep. Long baseball games.
Football games.
So boring. Most of them. Regular season football games can be brutal.
Hockey? Hockey? The Bruins game last night. Did you watch it?
Yes.
The whole game?
No. Last 5 minutes. Got an alert.
You 5 minutes were before mine.
I know. I sent Tommy a text. They scored an empty netter.
Yeah.
And I was like,
you said over.
Over.
And I still had I was like 45 seconds behind you because I'm watching on Hulu. Live. Yeah.
So he says, but you're ruining it for me. I go, oh, I'm sorry. So then the game ends, and I'm like, what a comeback by the Blues. And you're like, I'm not that far behind. I really thought I was laughing when I said that. I was like, you know, this is going to be great.
So you can't maintain, interest in much of anything?
From start to finish?
What are you doing during Broncos games when you're at the game?
Oh, I'm just sitting there. It's better at the Broncos game because you're in the press box. I'm not in the...
You still have to watch. Or
yeah,
do you?
Yeah, well, you know, there's other things on, thank God.
In the press box.
Yeah, we can look at our fantasy.
Other football games?
Other football games. We can watch our fantasy, check out our fantasy. We can gossip with everybody.
It says 200 laps on the text line.
Oh, that makes sense.
200 times 2.5 miles.
2.5, yeah, that makes sense. So seeing there with 60 laps, I'm it's no bargain, is it? It's like, well, they're going 200 miles an hour. So the whole race should take, 3 hours, theoretically, right?
Would you watch the Boston Marathon?
No. Are you kidding me? I've run
what sporting event would you watch?
I'll tell you what.
From beginning to end.
From beginning to end.
Tennis, because it could be
college basketball.
Love. It could be
right
quick.
Now. College basketball is probably the most
regular season.
Yeah, because usually the games mean a lot, and usually there's good play once you get into conference tournaments. I think
regular season.
Yeah, give me a regular. UNC Duke,
CU, Oregon State.
I'd watch that game. Yeah, sort of. College basketball is exciting almost from start to finish. Usually it goes quick. It's usually pretty good competition. The games are usually pretty close. It's pretty good. College baseball is boring. I'll tell you that. I've watched a lot of it.
Well, it's baseball. You're bored with the game of baseball.
I love baseball. I could watch a game even if I'm bored.
Condensed version.
Condensed version is fantastic. MLB Network has condensed version. Every game's like 15 minutes. It's freaking awesome. So I'm down there in Arizona. Arizona State was playing Stanford. I'm visiting my son and his friend. We see the game on Thursday, which my son sang the anthem, which was amazing. They won in a walk-off. They're down 3 runs to Stanford, the number 4 team in the country. They score 4 runs in the bottom of the 9th to walk it off. I mean, it was really, really exciting. And so the next night they're playing, and then on Saturday at noon they're playing. And I say to my son and his roommate, I said, do you want to go see the other two games? And they're like, are you crazy? They thought I was nuts for wanting to, go back to the other games. They go to the school where the school's playing, and they just beat the number 4 team in the country, and they were bored to tears by it. But college basketball, they will sleep overnight to get their seat for a college basketball game. Baseball, what was the last, seriously, what was the last baseball game you watched? First pitch to last pitch.
Well, I don't have cable.
All right, so it's boring. It's not a priority for you.
No, I was at the July 4th game last year. Tyler Anderson, the Giants. It was the quickest game of all time. It was under under 2 hours. It was a 1-0 game.
Wow.
It was crazy. And I went with my kids and one of my son's friends from Massachusetts out.
Did you stay for the whole game?
I was, absolutely.
All right.
I was expecting to be there for 3.5 hours. The problem is they started the game and the game finished so early that you had to sit around and wait for it get dark because it was July 4th.
Oh,
the fireworks.
That is a problem.
So you're like my kids. You're like a 20-year-old because they didn't want to wait. I said, first of all, you guys don't understand what just happened here. First of all, the Rockies won the game 1-0.
At Coors Field.
And it was in 2 hours. You guys just witnessed something that never happens. And they wanted to go. And I was like, all right. But I was expecting to be there for hours. Because you go there with the intention of that. It's not like this When I'm sitting there watching a baseball game, it's a very relaxed atmosphere. You can have a couple beers.
Fine. Then why did so many intense? Why did so many people leave that game yesterday?
I can't explain it. Because if I'm going, I'm investing in going to the game.
It was three to three against a division opponent on a holiday that you must have made arrangements to be at.
I don't know.
There's 40,000 something people there. The game is tight. There's home runs. It's back and forth. It goes to the beautiful extra innings that everybody seems to love. And yet, out of 40,000 people, if 20 were there at the end of it, I'd be surprised.
D-Mac, I was at game. What game was I with the Avs game? The they won in overtime. I think it was game six. People left. I was in a box. People left the box. They left the game after three periods. I go, why would you leave now? I'm tired.
They're bored.
Then you're not a true fan of the game.
Okay.
Which is shocking to me because you have these very strong opinions about the game of football, but you're not. You can't sit there for 4 hours and watch the game.
Oh, I watch it. I sit there.
You watched the last 5 minutes.
Of the what?
Oh, that was the Bruins game.
That
hockey to me, I don't know how you can miss a minute of hockey.
Because you don't care about the teams. I don't care about the Bruins. You do.
I did not miss a minute of the Stanley Cup Finals last year with the Caps and the Golden Knights.
You're a big hockey fan. You love
Despite
hockey.
Sitting through the ridiculous openings for the Golden Knights games. I sat through them all.
That was like my favorite part of those games.
I love the sport.
You love the sport.
I agree sort of with football, especially regular season.
It's ridiculous. It drags because of how many TV timeouts they have. And I feel bad for people just sitting in the stands when the game is really dragging, when it's really slow.
You couldn't pay me enough to watch Jacksonville versus Tennessee.
Right. From the stands.
Yeah,
from anywhere?
Probably. Yeah, even on TV.
Yeah, that's why do you think the red zone is so fantastic?
Hey, you can skip to the good stuff.
Oh, it's fantastic. And the Scott Hansen guy does a great job. And it's exciting. I'll tell you, I don't know. I am curious to watch. I'll watch the Bruins, sort of.
But only because of the Bruins. You wouldn't be watching otherwise.
Right. Well, I'm watching it because of you, to be quite honest with you. It wasn't that. I mean, the NHL's done a lousy job making the game bigger. They do all sorts of dumb things in the NHL. The number one thing is, why do you have the NHL playoffs at the same time as the NBA playoffs when it's summer? It's the stupidest thing of all time. They actually literally need to change their season.
That's when the season ends.
Yeah, change your season.
Based on basketball?
Yeah.
That's when the season always is.
Why are you ending your season at a time where people are on vacation, school's done, nobody cares, and nobody's paying attention to anything? Think about this for a second.
So basketball should change their season as well?
No, basketball's fine. Basketball can be played in any kind of weather.
So hockey should change their season based on people's vacations.
Yeah, it should end when it's cold.
So you're going to squeeze 82 games in a couple months?
No, you're going to start when it's warm. Start in August.
When everyone's on vacation.
That's fine.
Because games don't even matter.
Because literally nobody cares about the beginning of the hockey season. People, all I hear is how incredible playoff hockey is. Nothing's better than playoff hockey, right? You've heard that 10 million
times.
That's
from people that watch the regular season of hockey.
Nothing's better than playoff hockey. Okay, we'll put playoff hockey where it can get the attention it deserves, which is basically probably.
Then you're going to be like, why would they have the NHL playoffs in February when they just finished the Super Bowl and you have the combine? Everybody's waiting for the combine or the NBA All-Star game. Why would they do it then?
The NBA All-Star game. This is like in
It's in February.
Yeah. March. I would put it in March.
During March Madness. Why would they put it in March Madness? Are you kidding me?
Right before March Madness.
That's
I'd have
February.
The finals. No, man. Like, March Madness starts, like, really mid-February. March, rather. I'd have the Stanley Cup Finals, no matter what, happening in the first week of March. And I just back everything up.
NCAA basketball is going to start backing things up because of the...
No. They should... Here's how you fix the sports.
You just
calendar.
Told me how much you loved NCAA basketball, so you're going to be watching.
That. No, you're not going to
be
move
watching
that.
Hockey.
well, hockey's going to be done by the time, you know, you don't care about the conference tournaments.
You just told me how great they are. Kids sleeping out all night to get tickets.
Yeah, I know. It's fantastic. Here's how you fix the sports calendar. You start hockey in August because it's awesome to go inside and cool down in the summer. People like it. It's awesome. You finish right before the NCAA tournament.
But they're on vacation. They're on the beach.
Yeah, but nobody cares about the first 30 games of the NHL.
So nobody cares about getting cool off.
Did you read Jimmy about how terrible the Avs season was this year? He wrote a whole thing.
Figuring out frozen ice right now. He's confused.
KKFN, KKFN, HD1, Longmont, Denver. I read Jimmy's article. And it made sense to a certain degree, but...
Made no sense.
Yeah, no, it did.
The Avs have regressed, even though they made the second round.
Right.
They've regressed. There you go. That's akin to the fifth-year option. It just doesn't make any sense.
They finished well. They were terrible in the middle of the year. And they barnstormed their way into the second round. Start in August for hockey. Finish in March before the tournament. Have the Super Bowl.
Which tournament? The conference tournament?
The NCAA tournament. We don't care about the conference tournaments. Although, if you want to watch, fine. Super Bowl. Now, this is the best idea.
You do realize that the NHL playoffs take about a month.
Yeah, no kidding. That'd be awesome because they can start in like late January. It'd be great.
During NFL playoffs.
Yeah, well, the NFL playoffs are only on the weekend. You could have the NHL could dominate the stuff during the week. You take the weekends off. Super Bowl. This is the big one, though. Super Bowl. You with me on this?
I am. I know what you're going to say.
President's Day weekend.
Perfect. 18-game season.
17. Two bye weeks.
Whatever. Extend it to President's Day.
Right. Whatever you do, Super Bowl on President's Day weekend.
No brainer. Don't know why that isn't. Why have they not thought of that? Either they can't get the 17th game, but you can just start the season later.
Start the season later.
Start mid-September.
Please. Start training camp a little bit later. Be fine. You can't tell me as a player you would have a problem just starting a little bit later. It'd be fine.
Yeah. That's great.
You're going to play in the winter anyways.
I love the idea of the holiday weekend.
Right. And two bye weeks because we can stop this ridiculousness. It is absurd the way the NFL will say they're concerned about player safety, but they'll play a game on Sunday and play a game on Thursday.
Right. Bad product, too, on Thursday.
Terrible. Because the players are exhausted. Football needs 7 days. I do believe that. To have a good football game, I do think you need that routine of 7 days between games. Do you agree with me on that?
I do, because you see the games on Thursday. You have an abbreviated playbook, and you have players that you thought were going to play, and you paid a lot of money to go see them play, and they could have played on Sunday, but not on Thursday. Like Thursday, your body feels like crap.
I bet, yeah.
Friday, you start feeling better.
One game a week. Or one game every 2 weeks. Looks like you would obviously know way better than me, but that looks like it's the right rhythm for football.
One game every 2 weeks?
Well, if you have a bye week, it's fine.
All right.
Like, you're not going to lose conditioning if you wait that long to play. You're going to be fine. If you wait more than 2 weeks, like these college kids that go three and a half weeks between football games, I do wonder if they
even the
lose
Super,
something.
Even the Super Bowl is those 2 weeks, that's long. Like it takes you a minute to get back into the game.
So you wouldn't want to go any longer than 2 weeks, but you wouldn't have to. But think about how much better football would be on Thursdays if you had rest. But you'd have to have a second bye week to be able to do that.
Or they just dictate that the Thursday night game is between two teams coming off the bye.
Whatever. I don't know if you can
do it. So you have 10 days.
You could probably do it if you just stretch the... Yeah, I mean, I don't know logistically. I'd have to look at it. With 16 games, could you actually do that? I don't know.
But where does the NHL... Where can we have our playoffs now?
March. You're done at first...
March Madness.
First week of March.
It's a month.
You get 10 days at the beginning of March before the NCAA tournament starts. It'll be great.
10 days to get the playoffs in.
No, to get the Stanley Cup finals in. You start the playoffs in, like, January. Back it up, dude.
What about the combine?
I'm going to tell you. The combine.
The numbers the combine gets.
I know, they're great. The combine just goes. The combine is the combine. I'm glad you at least agree with me on one of these ideas. Basketball's fine. You don't have to touch it.
It just makes too much sense because the Super Bowl is usually played a week or two before President's Day. I never understood why they just can't stretch it out.
Baseball should start 2 weeks earlier, by the way, in March.
With weather?
Tough.
I mean, they try to do it scheduling anyways. That's why the Rockies always end up starting their season in Florida.
It is what it is. You just got to figure that out. You play in the South. It is what it is. You're going to have to deal with some bad weather. But playing the World Series in November or late October sucks. You'd have a much better chance if the World Series was ending in mid-October rather than late October.
I don't think there's much difference. I like it. I like how baseball is.
You like everything about baseball?
I do. I like the long games.
You don't, though.
I do.
You don't. If you liked them, you'd watch them.
I would watch them, but
why did you tell me off the air? Yes, you can.
Somebody texted in a website I can go to. I tried Reddit. I could not figure it out.
You said you were cheap. That's why you wouldn't pay for it. Are you joking?
No, not at all. This is a free site I can go to, I think.
You know what's even better? I'll tell you this. And I've been around pro sports for a long time, college sports for a long time. Give me a great high school game that means something to the kids and the parents in terms of excitement. That, to me, I could watch every single second of. That, to me, is exciting. Doesn't even matter what the sport is in high school to a certain degree. High school football, love high school football.
Is it because they're quicker? There's no commercial timeouts?
Yes. Actually, yes.
When I was coaching at South, our games lasted 3 hours.
They did?
I don't know why.
Why?
Our half times were longer, like college.
They were?
Our quarters were shorter, but they lasted just as long. I could not believe it.
No, that's
I figured I'd be out of here in an hour and a half.
Gotcha. All right, moving on. Bill Buckner passed away.
He did. Caught the baby.
Curb Your Enthusiasm.
He made quite a career out of, after accepting the error. Someone bought me a signed Bill Buckner photograph, an 8x10 of the error. The ball going through his legs.
That he signed.
I think everybody has one of those, or he sold many of them. But it's not all on him. You blame the manager for keeping him in there.
Yep, should have put in Dave.
They were up 5-3.
Yep.
But it was a 5-5 game when it happened. And there was also a game 7. There was also pitchers and things.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not all tied to him. But he's almost become the villain in Boston up until 2004. I think after 2004, Red Sox fans didn't care anymore. Like, whatever. It's part of history. But up until that point.
You know what's funny? I just said.
He's the Raheem Moore.
I just said to you, Bill Buckner passed away. And you instantly went to the play.
Well, no, I went to the... No, we caught the baby first.
Oh, okay.
Which was in reference to the play.
Yeah. So you didn't say, oh, man, 22-year career, just short of 3,000 hits. You went immediately to the play.
Oh, because most of his career was in Chicago, right? The Cubs.
He played for several teams. I think most of it was in Chicago, yeah. 22 years he played. He actually was a player for the Red Sox. He came back to the Red Sox as a player a couple years after the error, which I guess people just kind of forget about, but he actually came back and was on the team.
Of course your initial thought is there.
All right.
That's why you know that he died. I mean, baseball players die all the time. Baseball players die every day.
So if not for that, this would not be a news story?
Probably not.
Is that Raheem Moore's life? Is that his legacy?
Absolutely.
Here.
When you say his name, you think of that first.
Yep.
And maybe the injury he had, the compartmental,
nobody
crazy
thinks about
injury.
That was crazy, but nobody will think of that. They'll think of...
No, you think of that one play.
Scott Norwood.
Kick. Wide right.
It's a tough
thing. I don't even know if he was a great kicker or bad kicker.
I don't know
much about his career. I just know that he missed a kick in the Super Bowl.
Then he cried at the second place parade. They've had two second place
parades. And he may have had a great career. You know much more about his career than I would.
I got to Buffalo. He was already shown the door. And so I didn't know him. I got there in 94 when Steve Christie was a kicker. Who said famously when the New York Giants called a timeout in the Meadowlands and he made a kick. He goes, Steve, what do you think about them trying to freeze you? And he goes, I'm from Canada. I can't be frozen. One of my favorite quotes of all time. What do you think it's like for athletes to deal with those type of legacies?
What do you think of Matt Holliday? What's your first thought of Matt Holliday?
Did he touch the plate?
That he touched the plate?
Did he touch the plate?
Oh, did he? Yeah.
You asked my first thought.
That's what anybody will go to. You don't think about RBIs and home runs and what a great player he was.
Yeah, but that was okay, so it can go in the opposite. Well, it could go into something that's fantastic.
Well, think of Reggie Jackson.
Three home runs in the World Series.
But you look at his career.
I mean, he won the World Series with the A's.
His regular season you don't think about.
I think about three home runs in the World Series game and fights with Billy Martin.
Well, everybody fought with Billy Martin.
Well, he like really fought with
Billy. Yeah, everybody did.
I don't know.
You know, the first thing I think about when I think of Pedro Martinez is him tossing Don Zimmer to the ground.
That's your first thought of Pedro?
Because it was unbelievable.
It is interesting.
Manny, I think about going in the first thought of Manny Ramirez, I think about him going in the scoreboard to go to the bathroom.
My first thought with Manny is of him hitting a cutoff man 15 feet from him.
That's number two.
But he was like arguably the greatest right-handed slugger of all time. I mean, there's an argument to be made for it. Big Poppy.
The first thought is idiot Minnesota.
Okay.
But then he hit so many, I felt like he was clutch.
I was just going to say clutch.
But he made so many, there was so many big plays that he made.
Todd Helton.
Unfortunately, to me, I think of drunk driving.
Wow.
And the second one just came up.
That's the first thing you think of? Wow. Okay.
I think of his glove at first as well. And you don't think much of...
I think
He was
a great first baseman. I just think you don't keep somebody in the major leagues just because they're a great first baseman. The rest of the fielders are pretty good. You're not scooping every other pitch. It's not high school. John Elway.
Super Bowls. The flip. The 180.
Was
it a 180, a 360? However far he got around?
You were on the field.
Like 10 feet from me. It was amazing. It was amazing. I had a firsthand account of it, but it was so crazy to see a quarterback do that.
So, can you walk us through the play?
I know it was a three-man rush, so they were basically in like a prevent defense. They dropped eight. So everybody's covered. And, you know, he looked and looked and then just took off. But it was, I think I turned to Habib and stuff. I was like, holy, you know, did you just see that? It was like weird to see his body like flying around. And it was cool. It like gave you a little pump because there's a dude probably not having the best game of his career, but he's doing anything he can to win.
What was the score at the time?
I don't remember. It must have been third and something.
What was the huddle like when he came back from that?
It was crazy. It was fist bumps and
You guys are fired up.
It was awesome. That's the, by far and away, that's the first thing I think of.
That's cool.
And I wonder if I'd think of that if we'd lost a game. I don't know. But because we won, it was all part of the fabric of the win.
That's funny that your thought of a teammate is kind of this seminal moment that a lot of fans would think of, to be honest with you. Yeah. It's kind of like you don't see a highlight of John Elway's career without that part of it.
People talk about Terrell's game and the migraines and all that. I think of that play and McCaffrey's block on the linebacker on I think it was a running play.
Mm-hmm.
But it was so like he just knocked the crap out of the dude, and it was crazy.
Carmelo Anthony.
Man, just great offensive player. There's not any
moment. There's not a moment, though, is there?
There's not really a moment.
I think
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't really even think of a moment with Carmelo, really.
I just remember every time he'd get the ball, it was one-on-one, and it was, you know, clear out. Because it just went to him, and that was the end of the offense.
Patrick Waugh.
The fight with
Osgood.
Did he fight Hasek too?
No, well, that couldn't have been much of a fight. The Osgood ones is classic.
Yeah. No saves. The fight.
You don't think of the Stanley Cup?
Nope.
You think of the fight?
Yep. It was for the conference finals.
Peter Forsberg. First thought.
He broke my thoughts on European players.
Mm.
That's what I think, because he played like a Canadian player. He was a forward that was tough.
My first thought on Forsberg is mushy ankles. And I have as great as he was, his career.
So he's like a bender? Like he's.
No, he just. He couldn't fit.
Ankle bender?
He couldn't skate. He was too painful to skate. That's why his career ended.
Oh, at the end.
Yeah, he just. I'll just never forget. It's funny because there's a lot of memories you could have, obviously. But to me, it was sad because his desire to play was there. His physical fitness was there. Everything was there, except he just had this crazy foot issue that prevented him from skating. I felt bad for him, to be honest with you.
Didn't he go back to Sweden and play some?
Maybe. I don't know. But he wasn't. Do you remember his comeback when he came back?
You don't remember Melo from Syracuse, huh?
Oh, I have my Melo memories. I'm just talking about Denver.
That's on the text
line.
Oh,
if I see Melo, if you just say Carmelo, period, to me, it's winning an NCAA championship.
I think one and done.
Well, whatever. It was a great year. It's the greatest 4 months ever.
Yes, that play, it's on the text line, a video. I don't know how this even happens, but always flip, 180, whatever, 360.
Yeah.
Helicopter. It was awesome. That was a good year.
It's interesting to go through this because Buckner is the heir.
No doubt.
Can't avoid it.
Nobody's going to sit there and tell you their first thought is Norwood the 22 years.
Norwood is the missed kick. Raheem Moore for Denver fans is definitely the Flacco throw. Who was the receiver that caught the ball?
Torrey Smith? Was it Torrey Smith?
I'm not even sure. Well, I saw a replay of that just the other day. It was such a bad play by Raheem Moore. It was just...
Someone's first thought about Forsberg was a spleen.
Oh, there you go.
Missed the rest of the playoffs that year. Was it Jacoby Jones? Yeah.
See? It's an afterthought.
It's unforgettable. I mean, it's forgettable.
Right. It's Raheem.
Although people remember Mookie Wilson was the one that hit the dribbler.
True. You know, Mookie Wilson and Bill Buckner would go out and sign together. Isn't that amazing?
I'm telling you, he profited off it after he, I guess, reconciled with the fact that what happened.
The reality, though, is you can put all this work into being an athlete. You can succeed at the highest possible levels. But at any moment, your career can be defined by either an amazing moment or a terrible moment. And then you just have to live with that.
Or in Carmelo's case, as great as he was, I can't think of a moment.
Good or bad.
Good or bad.
He's just kind of irrelevant, right? That's a tough one, too. To not have any significant moments. But I mean, he had a moment in college.
09 finals, I mean, the conference finals, but, I mean, it was Chauncey, it was a bunch of guys.
Yeah, they lost in six games. Yeah, just, you know, College was his highlight. There's no doubt about it.
Michael Dean Perry.
What's your thought there?
Couldn't get off the field.
Right. Right.
Couldn't get off the field.
For whatever he's done.
Just
in
waddling off the field. And his brother, I think of the fridge getting the touchdown in the Super Bowl instead of Walter Payton.
I do too. Yep. Didn't give the ball the sweetness.
Couldn't give it to him.
No. Blowout. Couldn't let him have one touchdown. Bill Buckner. This is The Drive on The Fan.